the garlic mayonnaise and aioli. And a lot of people, they like the mayonnaise-based sauce with fried potatoes. So why not? But anyway, deep frying or fried the fish fry, I'd like to explore that this week. It's, again, tradition. I grew up with it. One of the first things I cooked in the restaurant, they moved me from dishes to start on the fry station. Of course, we had the fish fry every Friday night. We would use haddock. Haddock seems to be the choice, again, along the I-90 corridor, they call it, or upstate New York. A lot of places use cod. Pollock could be used. Haddock has a little bit, it's a little finer flake than cod. It's thinner, so it really lends itself well to deep frying. Fresh or frozen, I mean, it's fished, it lives in deeper, colder water. So the cod, now in danger of being overfished. Haddock still seems to be in decent supply. More prevalent on the eastern side of the North Atlantic rather than our western side. But Iceland and, of course, European countries harvest a lot of haddock. And it is still smoked, it's dried. It's one of those staple fish that you can pretty much do anything with. But the haddock, when you can find it, I know back in the 60s we did use, it was frozen, it was skin on. It came in what's called a shatter pack, so it didn't have a lot of ice on it or water. You could break off three or four flakes. They had wax paper in between, or plastic rather, and very, fast preservation. When you freeze fish, or anything for that matter, anything with water in it, you want to freeze it as quickly as possible. Home freezers are really tough to do that with, but commercially frozen food, if it's been kept frozen at zero and handled properly, defrosted slowly in the refrigerator, you don't get that much of the drip. What happens when you freeze water, of course, it expands about 10%, and then when you defrost it again, that there's a lot of cell damage done. There's crystals in there, and then the juice comes running out, and you end up with something that's a little bit dry. The fast freezing that are done now, a lot of times in a brine, cryogenic, they call it, the smaller crystals form. You don't have as much cell damage. And truthfully, a well-preserved frozen fish that you can control when you're going to use it might be better off than something that's been in the fish market too long. It's been on a boat for a few days, and it's going to get transported somewhere. So don't rule out frozen fish. Just make sure it's done properly. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and figure out how we're going to cook this fish. Chef Doe's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table, so frying the fish. I know what we used to use again years ago was a commercial batter mix, so we didn't have to do the flour and then the liquid and then the coating. It was kind of like a pre-wash, and it was a the breader was a fine grind crumb. I think it had some cornmeal in it also, a little bit of crunch, and you got kind of a different flavor. There's the New England fish fry or clam fry mix. Could be a little bit an idea for that. That's we kind of use something similar to do our chicken tenders and calamari and things at the restaurant. You'll take 2 cups of flour, all-purpose flour, and 1.5 cups of corn flour, if you can find the corn flour, the fine ground like masa harina. You could use cornmeal instead of the corn flour, a little bit more crunch to it. But you want that mixture. Straight cornmeal is a little bit tough. For that much flour and cornmeal, a half teaspoon of dry mustard, a teaspoon of salt, a half teaspoon of cayenne pepper. You could put a little black pepper in there if you like. But also what's in the commercial mixes is a little bit of leavening or baking powder. So about a teaspoon of that would go in there. Gives it that, if you're just coating with flour, a little bit of fluff to it, you know, a little, again, lightens it up. It reacts with the heat. You get a little expansion there with the coating. So that flour mix, you could mix up that flour and keep it on your shelf. If you've dredged fish or anything in a flour mix, obviously, it then should be treated like fresh food. If you're going to use it again, refrigerate it. If you're not going to use it in a few days and you've already put proteins in it, then it's best just to get rid of it. And we make it pretty much daily. We need to make our flour mix. We use 2 or 3 different types there depending on what we're cooking. So this would be a good coating that you could take your fish and a couple of ways you could use that. Some places, I think the clam shacks, to simply dredge. If you've got something like oysters or clam bellies, clam strips, something with a lot of moisture, you could just give it a good dredge in this flour mix. Use a basket so we can strain off the flour, shake it off very well, and then it goes into the fryer. Another technique to do with calamari would be to let it sit in milk. And we use 2%. You don't want a lot of fat. The more fat you have in a coating, the less crispy it'll be. That's why egg wash works well, beaten eggs work well. a little bit richer than the breading part, of course, flavor, and the richness of the egg yolk, but you tend not to have as crispy a texture as just using milk or buttermilk. We'll do buttermilk with our fried chicken sandwich. Actually, we brine that. We use a little buttermilk and pickle juice for the chicken, but that's, I think a lot of people are doing that now. It's pretty tasty. But keeping in buttermilk is good. You get a little bit of flavor, a little tang, you know, the acid in there. It's a little thicker than regular milk, too. It helps the flour stick on there better. But you do need some kind of protein, especially if the product's fairly dry that you're breading. Another coating, you could use a standard breading procedure with your flour, egg, and breadcrumb. Panko seems to be the favorite now. The panko crumbs are nice flavor. If you use toasted breadcrumbs, you'll get a little bit different flavor. Some like it better, but also a little bit darker finish, depending if you're using small pieces, then toasted breadcrumbs, I know some chefs recommend that. You actually saute them in some butter or oil, get them a little bit brown, and you have that nice caramelized flavor. But when you set up a breading station, the three-step one, you want to make sure you keep one hand wet and one hand dry. Otherwise, you end up with the big clumps of flour or breadcrumbs on your fingers. Some people will spear the product with a fork to take it out of the batter. But best if you start with, say, if you're right-handed, you handle the fish with your in the flour. You're going to place it in the flour with your left hand. And then you will dredge it with your right hand, coating the flour on it. You're picking that up with your right hand that's already floured now. That's your dry hand. You place it in your egg or egg milk mixture or your pre-wash. Then with your wet hand, your left hand, you will take it out, let it drain pretty well. You don't want to just take it directly into the coating because you'll get, again, clumps in there. You want to let the excess drain off a little bit. And then with your dry hand, toss it around in the crumbs. And then you'll place it on probably wax paper or parchment paper to sit. Some people like to let the breaded product sit for a little while before frying. Make sure that coating gets on there. Don't let it sit too long. If you put it in the refrigerator, you can bread them ahead. But after a few hours, the breadcrumbs will get soggy, or if the flour coating on there, it'll get soggy pretty quickly. And you don't want that. That just browns too much, the water. It's not a good product. If that does happen, if you bread it ahead and you notice they're getting a little soggy, then just put them back in the crumb. You'll get a little bit thicker coating, but at least it'll be nice and dry. And that gives you your nice coating for fish or anything, but we're talking fish fry, right? Now, the type of fish you use, again, my favorite is haddock, but any thin, lean fish fillet. I remember in Lake Placid, we used to fry the smelt, the Lake Champlain ice fish, tiny fish. I don't know if you've ever seen the fishermen do that with the lines. It looks like they're conducting an orchestra. And they drill a hole in the ice, and you're just kind of snagging the fish there. And those are good. They're tasty. You, of course, clean them, take the head off, but the bones are soft, and you just fry the whole things up. In France, the gudgeon, which lends to the term goujonette, a little thin piece of fish that was oftentimes an hors d'oeuvre sent out to the table. Of course, inland, you'd use a freshwater fish like the smelt or the gudgeon, and a couple little bites, little slivers of fish with a sauce, and perfectly fried, drained well. Nice way to start off. Go to our northern states, you'll see up by the Great Lakes there, you'll see pike, you'll see whitefish, the fish fries there. They use the fish that's near where you live, if you can. Down south, probably catfish, right? So And they said, if you can get good fresh fish, that's the way to go. But if for some reason you can't, look for frozen fish that's been handled well. You want to know the country of origin. You want to make sure that the packaging's intact. Sometimes you will see a slight ice glaze on them. Something with the skin on, obviously, is less processed than with the skin off. I know with these haddock fillets, we used to fry them with the skin right on. It kind of helped them hold together because it is a thin fish, very delicate once it's cooked. Put the skin on there. It's edible, and it's helps it hold together. Another way, if you like to batter fry, like a tempura, another culture, that's another way of frying, or the ale batter, a couple of coatings like that. We will normally dredge in a little bit of seasoned flour and then dip it in the batter, just to make sure. You want to flour the fish because it is a little wet. You want to make sure the batter is going to stick to it. If you are batter frying, then batter is best fairly cold. You don't want the batter at room temperature. You want it a little bit cold, especially a tempura batter. Now, do we deep fry or do we shallow fry? That's another question. We've got a break for news here, and we'll go through the differences of that. And also, there's oven frying. If you don't want to deal with all the oil, and I said you're still going to have to use a little bit of butter or oil, but oven frying might be the way to go, especially if you're cooking for a group. Sometimes it's easier to do that, or you can do a combination of that. We'll explain it when we get back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democratic field for the White House grows by another one as former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper announces this morning he's running for the White House, saying in an ad he posts online,
I'm running for president because we're facing a crisis that threatens everything we stand for. As a skinny kid with Coke bottle glasses and a funny last name, I've stood up to my fair share of bullies.
Standing tall when it matters is one of the things that really drives me.
He'll hold his first campaign rally on Thursday in Denver. At least 23 people dead after tornadoes tear through eastern Alabama. That death toll expected to rise as many people are listed as missing. People living in the area of Beauregard say it looks like a bomb went off. Strike over. Teachers in Oakland, California heading back to the classroom today. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Right. One other with the standard breading procedure, of course, is that we like panko. You could use a fine breadcrumb, and the other mix that we use on occasion is a Parmesan crust. This will we will use some cornmeal in. It's a third you just go by a ratio, how depending on how much you need. It's a third of panko, a third of cornmeal, and a third of grated Parmesan. One-third cup of each, you know, or three cups of each, depending on how much mix you're making. And that makes a good coating. You've got some cornmeal, a good crunch. You have to watch your temperature because the cornmeal does brown a little bit quicker. But we'll use that for more for pan frying. We've done it for deep frying, but, of course, anything deep fried, you can shallow fry. Best thing, obviously, an electric frying pan kind of functions as that. So you don't have to worry about the big high volume of oil. You're not submerging everything. But you do have good temperature control. They're electric. You can set the thermostat for the frying temperature. You've got good heat recovery because the elements are covering the bottom of the pan. Again, whether you're deep frying or shallow frying, don't crowd the pan too much. You want to maintain that temperature. You just watch the indicator light. It's usually on when the heat's active, and it's off when it's reached temperature. But the you could do the shallow frying on the stove. You need a heavy skillet, aluminum or stainless steel is fine. But you need the straight sides, and you want cast iron. Of course, in our South, that was the vehicle of choice for frying, right? The big old cast iron pan holds the heat well. Once you get it hot, you don't lose the – it's quicker recovery time. That's what you really want. So you have your inch or so of oil. You don't want to fill the whole thing up because when you put product in there, it's going to displace the oil, and you don't want it to boil over. But you want enough oil in there. It's not like sautéing where the product is touching the bottom of the pan, and that helps with the browning. You want enough oil so the product doesn't really hit the bottom of the pan. If it does, it actually, you know, it's not the end of the world. You will get a little bit better color on things. But you have to watch for when you're shallow frying or pan frying is to when do you turn it? When do you turn the food? You know, you could look by color, but normally, just like with sautéing or even pan roasting, when you see your coating, when you see it looking like it's a little bit moist, that means water's coming through. That's when you want to turn the product and seal that water in. Because really what you're doing, even though frying, it seems like it's a dry cooking process. It's not in water, but since the water doesn't mix with the oil, it stays in the product. Now, if you over fry and the water comes out, when you start to hear sizzling, that's a water escaping there, then you're going to start drying out the product. So you want to catch it before then. A lot of times, deep frying, the indicator is when it floats, it's done. But really, by that time, it's almost overdone. That means, again, that water has turned to steam. As you remember, you know, water and oil are two different densities. Oil actually floats on top of water. So once that product's coming to the top, it's almost overcooked, especially fish. You will have a little carryover cooking, so not to worry. You can always, one of the ways to test it, we used to use a toothpick and just pierce the fish at its thickest point. And when you see clear juice run out, then it's done. If the juice was a little milky, then we'd cook it a little bit longer. So what temperature to use? Well, 350 seems to be good, a little bit higher. 360 is all right. You don't want to cook below that, especially for fish, because it'll then absorb too much oil. You want that oil to stay, just you know, flavor the coating and do its job cooking, but you don't want it to go into the product. Now, oven frying is done at even at a high temperature. This was developed, I forget the lady's name, by a home economist, I think back in, I don't know, could have been the 40s or 50s. So you have your breaded product. So say you've got your fish that you've dredged in your flour and your milk and your breadcrumbs. or if you've got it, just flour. This works very well just with breaded product. So let's say, and I've done this with lamb chops, lamb rib chops. I've done it with veal chops, where I will coat the product, standard breading procedure, and you place it on the pan. You will need a little butter or oil on the pan, a chic pan, and the oven should be at 500 degrees. I know it sounds hot, but when you really want that quick recovery time, and especially on a thinner product, you want that browning to take effect a lot faster. So if you really do proper oven frying, you need that 500-degree oven. So you place the pan in the oven, and I will turn the product halfway through. Once it's brown, of course, right away with that oil, you need that oil to kind of carry the heat. You can't put it on a dry pan. And you'll see the bottom of the product start to brown, and when that gets that nice color you want, or when you're not going to see too much of the juice come out, you've got heat coming from all over, but then you will turn the product over and turn the other side. So when you're frying, of course, cooking all around, you don't have to worry about what we call the presentation side or the other side. When you're doing in a pan or when you're baking in the oven, presentation side for, say, a fish fillet would be the part what we call the rib side, where the little bones were, not the skin side. So, and a lot of times in the fillets, the rib side is a little bit rounded. It's pretty noticeable. And you could see on the skin side, sometimes there's a little dark left from the skin where the skin has been removed. So if you're oven frying, you want to start with that presentation side down first. Or if you're pan frying, say you coat the fish with the milk and the flour. We've done this with a double dust, where we'll flour the fish, put it in the milk or egg, and then into the fish fry mix, that corn flour and all-purpose flour mix, and do it in clarified butter, and it browns pretty quickly. You have to watch it, and we'll flip it over. It's more like a sauté type process. Very delicate, tasty crust on this. Those will finish in a 450-degree oven, just like if you're pan roasting. So oven frying, you're going to do it 500. If you're pan frying and turning it over, finishing, if it's a thicker fillet, then you use a 450-degree oven. But, again, if you're cooking for a larger group, sometimes that oven frying might be the better way to go. A little less handling. Otherwise, you're standing there, you're cooking. If you're cooking shallow frying or deep frying in batches, just have your oven on 200 degrees. You'll drain the food on a baking rack, not on paper towels. Like everybody says, paper towels, you're going to get some steam there. You want a nice, that fine mesh baking rack that you would put on a sheet pan and let your food drain on that. If you're going to serve it right away, that's fine and dandy. You can toss it. We used to use the old paper plates that weren't coated with whatever they coat them so the food doesn't get absorbed. We would actually use these old paper plates that were just felt like cardboard, and they would absorb the grease. Just for a second, put the food on there just to get the few drops of grease off, and then or oil, rather, and then put it on your plate. But you don't want the food piled up on top of each other, because then you will get some steam and you'll get a soggy crust, and all that good stuff you worked for is for naught. Now, baking fish also, so say, all right, I really don't want to fry, I don't want fried fish, I don't want to, all the oil. Baking the fish without the coating, let's say, you don't want that much breading. Okay. A nice topping for the fish, I know one of our favorites. I mean, you can think of like a clam oreganata, let's say. Some breadcrumbs, a little bit of garlic. You could use fresh minced garlic, or you could use garlic powder or garlic granulated, probably better. Some Italian herbs. And what I like to put in those is a little tiny bit of tomato product, tomato sauce. Not too much, just enough to tinge it and moisten it. And that makes a nice coating for putting on top of a fish fillet. You could do a casino style. If you, of course, looking for no meat, you would not use the bacon in there, but just sautéed onions and peppers and some the breadcrumbs. I sneak a little pickle relish in there. That's for that little tartness in there. Again, some seasoning, some garlic, herbs if you like. Another of these, the classic cracker mix, kind of New England style. They might use oyster crackers for this. I've used the buttery crackers, like a Ritz or Townhouse. So if you have 1.5 pounds of these crackers, you'll need 1/4 cup of finely chopped onion, or you could use onion powder if you like. Not 1/4 cup, maybe a couple of tablespoons. You'll need 2 cups of clarified butter. This you would make from about 1.5 pounds of butter. No milk solids, just the clear oil. 1/4 cup of fresh parsley, a couple of teaspoons of dried thyme. So you saute the onions in a little bit of the butter. You pulse in the processor the oyster crackers or the butter crackers. I crush them with a rolling pin inside a bag. You can get a pretty fine crush that way if you don't want to use the processor. And after the onions, you don't want to brown them. Just get them cooked and mix that in with the butter, the seasoning. There's enough salt in there. The crackers are salty anyway. If you like, I'll throw sometimes a little cayenne in there, maybe a little garlic, granulated garlic. But then you've got a nice buttery topping for baking fish. So you spread that on the top of the fish. You could use a thin coating of mayonnaise. Hummus works pretty well. I've tried that. Just a thin coating of hummus on there and a nice, like a Parmesan breadcrumb crust. So you get the texture of that crispy topping, but the whole fish is not coated with breadcrumbs. Maybe you're tasting more of the fish. Either way, it's still delicious. We'll be back after a couple of messages here. Finish up with, we got to make some tartar sauce and figure out what else to serve with our fish fry.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, bonds, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Bill's table here, WHCRDB. So the obvious again with the fries, the fish fry. Probably easier to do if you want to do French fries, of course, or chips as they call them in England. Here's where if you're doing the oven, you could do. At the same time, on a sheet pan, some nice potato wedges, oven fried. You will need to, again, toss them with a little oil, season them, and bake them at that high temperature. Your fish is 500. I would say you get the fries done at about 450. Get those done first, and then you can crank the oven up to 500 and bake your fish. The fish will not take that long. But something else, if you we're having fried food or baked fried food, salt potatoes, again, we offer them at the restaurant. Of course, I'm from Syracuse, so I've got to have those. The small potatoes cooked in salt brine. And I know you can get them probably at Wegmans because they're from up in that area. But otherwise, we use a B-size Yukon Gold. And you want this kind of potato. We don't use the red potatoes. They're a little bit too much. I don't know. They're not the right texture. Too much moisture in them, I guess. They're firmer. You need the Yukons or new potatoes if you can catch some early part of the when they first come out. The C size, the creamers, are real good also, but the B size are good. Up there, up in upstate New York, Hinterwaddles grow always. I think they package them. They used to anyway. But it was a good eastern potato, not too big. And they always put some salt in with the potatoes. And the instructions say, yeah, this bag of salt, it's not a table salt with the iodine in it. We use kosher salt at the restaurant. We'll do a cup and a half of kosher salt to 3 quarts of water. Sounds like a lot, and that should. It should taste just like ocean water. It's brine. It came from when the cold spring up in near Syracuse there. The water coming out of that spring was the same salinity as seawater. And you bring it to a boil, of course, it's going to boil at a higher temperature. When you have either salt or sugar in water, it raises the boiling point, lowers the freezing point. So this brine you bring to a boil and then add the potatoes. Normally when you're boiling potatoes, you would start with cold water so they cook evenly. But these are different. You want to kind of shock them in that hot water and get it back to temperature. So it's cooking at a little bit above the boiling point. So you're going to get a little creamier inside. You do not get the salt absorption. If you bring the brine to a boil first, you won't get the absorption of salt. The salt will be on the outside, just like seasoning a French fry. And again, we serve them normally with melted butter, but you could treat them in the same way you treat a baked potato. And if you have some left over, of course, our little secret, our family, you slice them the next day. They're chilled salt potatoes, make a great home fry for breakfast. So don't worry about making too much. It's worth it. You've got the brine, cook the potatoes. You can always use the leftovers. So, yeah, salt potatoes would be the easier way to go. And give you that little contrast from the fried food. Now, of course, in the restaurant, we offer the remoulade sauce, which is our kind of a fancier tartar sauce. As if you think of tartar sauce, I mean, some people just like pickle relish and mayonnaise, maybe a little mustard in there. So I found one, the old Legal Seafoods. Not sure if they still make it this way. This is an old book. So it makes about a 1 1/4 cup. A lot of ingredients here, but nothing too fancy. Just with a cup of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of minced onion, very finely chopped. And they use 2 kinds of pickles in here. They're actually chopping kosher dill, 2 tablespoons of chopped kosher dill, 2 tablespoons chopped sweet pickles. So they're not using pickle relish per se. Well, they are, yeah. Actually, they do add a little relish. You want 1/4 teaspoon of pickle juice, just a few, a little bit there. 1 tablespoon of minced celery, 1 tablespoon of minced green pepper, and 1 teaspoon of minced garlic. At this point, they will put a teaspoon of sweet relish in there and 1 teaspoon of red pepper relish, if you can still find it. That's, I think they used to call it hamburger relish. Stuff's pretty good. At the end, if you want to adjust the heat, Tabasco a little bit, a few shakes to taste, if you like. And they're also adding a 1/4 teaspoon of white vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon of dry mustard. And I suppose if you don't have that, you could use probably a 1/2 teaspoon of Dijon or prepared mustard. It just looks like they're just making mustard here, the vinegar and the mustard. 1/2 to 1 teaspoon of lemon juice and 1 teaspoon of Dijon. So it looks like, you've got a couple of different relishes, a couple of different pickles, dry mustard, Dijon mustard. So it's a little, and some minced vegetables. I mean, this is a pretty real tartar sauce here. So take the time to make that, and it holds up. It's, you've got some raw vegetable, but it'll hold up for a few days, but might be worth, especially if you have any of those little vegetables hanging around, just kick it up a little bit. We'll do a Creole remoulade. Sometimes people like cocktail sauce with fish fry. No end to it. You could do sriracha mayonnaise. I know that sweet Thai chili sauce that you see now. That and a little sriracha mixed with some mayonnaise makes a good, we serve it with tempura, makes a nice sauce. But, again, fried food, but that little bit of mayonnaise sauce, if you like that, works out pretty well. Again, you can go a step beyond just the normal pickle relish and mayonnaise. Although, if that's all you have, you know what? It tastes good. So I hope you enjoy fried fish, whether it's for Lent or for any reason. It's always good. Good quality fish, well fried, coated and fried, proper temperature, and you don't end up with greasy food. And it really is, for fish, it's fast cooking, and it can be healthy, or at least not unhealthy, if you fry in clean oil and again avoid that absorption there. We'll be back now. See next week. Oh, we've got St. Patrick's Day after that, so another food celebration. Chef Bill's Table. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After at least two major tornadoes touched down in Alabama on Sunday,
we're trying to account for individuals that have been reported missing to families.
Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones says they've confirmed at least 23 deaths, but they do expect that number to rise.
We have an extensive debris field. Catastrophic would be the word I would use to describe the area that is most affected.
A late winter storm dropping over a foot of snow on parts of the Northeast and New England overnight, hitting some areas that had gotten off pretty easy for most of the winter. Word is in the Boston region, they received 16 inches in some spots, including in Weymouth and Sharon. Another Democrat making a run for president in 2020 is former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper announced his decision in a campaign ad this morning. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-